You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can be with us. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan, and unfortunate what's happening. Stars down 2-0, but joining us, we are fortunate to have him. Two-time Stanley Cup winner, two-time NCAA champion, 17 years in the NHL with a host of playoff games. He's our very own Craig Ludwig. Luds, during the week, my timeline blew up, and usually when my timeline blows up, it's like, okay, what did I do? And then, oh no, what did one of my hosts on The Fan say? It certainly isn't because of my hockey takes, but what I feel is the best insider in the game, Elliot Friedman, tweeted out, per at SN Stats, the 4,333 days between Adam Henrique's last two playoff goals is an NHL record. Previous, Craig Ludwig, 4,079. You did it, buddy.
You know why that happened? You know why it took so long for me to get that one goal?
I mean, clearly you weren't given the puck. They weren't giving you the puck. If they had given you the puck, you know, I mean, had upped your time on ice, my man. Oh yeah, this wouldn't have happened.
Okay. I was busy playing in front of my net and trying to make it difficult on the opponents to score goals.
I like it.
You want to take it from there?
I will. Let me ask you, did your mentions go crazy? Were people texting you that?
No, I don't have mentions. I don't get involved in the back and forth as much. Only I would like to, but I typically know that I'm going to say something stupid at some point or type something stupid at some point. So I try to refrain from that kind of stuff.
I felt like Craig's personal assistant. I was getting hit up by people in the industry. Hey, did you see this? I thought it was
you strike me as you could be somebody's personal assistant, as a matter of fact. You fit all of the criteria.
Now, wait a minute. You're right. I do. Organized. Yeah. Efficient.
Well, whatever you want to call it, dainty. I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's fine.
Dainty has nothing to do with it. And by the way, I'm not dainty. I think fit and trim are words that we should use.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. Eyes in the, what is it? The beauty's in the eye of beholder. You just keep on beholding.
I am, I like various words, and one word I enjoy is svelte.
It's not dainty.
You know, I'm going to look up dainty.
Yeah. Look up dainty.
Cause dainty might be a compliment. This is live coverage of me looking up dainty.
Oh, come on. Are you seriously typing it in?
I wanted to see what the official description is. Delicately small and pretty. You jerk.
Dainty is kind of, do you remember? I don't think they have them anymore, but you remember back in the day when the women would knit and yarn or whatever they call it and all that kind of stuff. They'd make little doilies. Remember what the doilies were?
I understand where you're going. Yeah.
Well, those are dainty little doilies. They're cute little things that sit on a table and, you know, collect spillage and, you know, that kind of thing.
Also dainty, difficult to please.
What is it?
Dainty, the second definition, difficult to please. My exes would agree on that one.
Well, dude, quit buying them.
All right. That's inside information, Mr. Ludwig.
Not anymore.
By the way, I am open for business.
This bar is never closed. And I thought this was going to be a hockey show.
Well, I mean, listen, we're laughing and hopefully people are laughing too.
Let's take off on the word dainty.
Yeah.
I don't think that Vegas plays, especially their 6D, they don't play dainty in front of their net.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you can ask about, you know, 7 or 8 forwards from your opponents. Is it a little bit more difficult to get to the interior playing against that group?
And yeah,
I've been beating this, not beating it, but I've been saying it for a long time, is that I've always thought, and prior to winning the Stanley Cup for Vegas, that they've had a group of defensemen. And, you know, there's a guy by the name of McCrimmon in that office. And, that I think what they've done, and it reminds me of Bob Gainey a lot, when he got to Dallas, how he wanted to kind of form his team to play for a playoff team. It's not a 82-game team. It was from 83 to, 105 or whatever it takes. So that to me is what Vegas and their management staff set out to do. So they're not one word you're not going to use to describe their team as dainty.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You have been on that pulpit and I have as well. We talked about it before the season, how stacked they were. But one of the concerns was when the rink shrinks and when the physicality is ramped up, how do they stylistically fit? And that's why Vegas has been a tough matchup for them. I would say the same thing about Colorado. I think Colorado, Nathan McKinnon, for as flashy as he is, he's a pretty heavy body. He's very, well-sized. So, all right, I have so many questions for you because Stars fans are upset. And I watching that game last night, Craig, I just thought Vegas was the better team. And I'm not saying that against it because I thought the Stars played well, but I just felt like the Stars were chasing the game throughout the night. And a lot of people were like, well, they changed their game. They were trying to be physical with Vegas. I actually enjoyed that. I want them to be more physical. I don't think that took them out of their game. I think the Vegas, how they're playing defensively, is neutralizing that speed. And I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah. that's exactly what every team has, an identity, and the identity always starts from the top. And we know that, and it trickles down. And I think that Vegas wants to be difficult to play against. They want to be hard to play against. And that doesn't always have to mean a physical presence from everybody, but it's going to be hard to get to the areas that are key areas of the ice. And that's how they play. and again, there's a lot of teams in the league and the game has changed a lot. We talk about this all the time. It's an up-tempo game and it's a go-go game. And you have defensemen, you have forwards that, all jump into the play offensively and want to play that pacey kind of game, which is great. It's just that, you get into this time of the year and it's kind of trudging. And, and Razor would use a term every once in a while. And he talks about wearing a wool sweatshirt or a wool sweater, trying to climb through a picket fence or a barbed wire fence. And, it's obviously you get stuck and you get hung up and you can't get through and all of that. And it's kind of like the way that Vegas likes to play. I mean, they like to have always have three guys back at their blue line for sure, entering their zone, if not in the neutral zone. I mean, I could draw up the couple goals that led to Vegas goals because Dallas tried to squeeze a stretch pass or get through the blue line by dancing around one of their defensemen that play tight, and they have a third guy coming back. You know, they're and then you get below the tops of the circle sometimes, and all of these things work for Dallas all year long. I can understand why they're, you know, why you kind of get stuck in that groove. They were able to pass pucks into the net. They were able to have a lot of highlight reel goals scored this year. But, you know, you're playing against a team now that plays a little bit tighter. You know, I see a lot of times when a player moves the puck, comes through the middle of the ice and move the puck to, let's say, your right winger. And versus driving right straight through the middle of their defenseman and getting to the front of the net, it may take a path, you know, to the outside and try to get around to an open area. But unfortunately, you're on the outside looking in. And again, it's kind of like water. Water takes the least resistance path. And it's difficult plowing through there. But what it does, and look at a couple of the goals that have been scored on Jake. Yeah. You know, there's been a couple of goals. I mean, there's been some easy goals, I would consider them. Like the Stone goal, the first one of the playoffs, standing all alone in the slot with a redirect. Hurdle gets a goal coming off of a faceoff. I believe it was on a power play, yep, though. But there's no resistance for him to get to the front,
right,
of the net.
And
so he tips it,
puck,
and then he gets, yeah, another chance and puts it into the net.
Yeah,
Noah Hanifin has gotten some pucks to the net, you know, that those kind of things. So, but and I think Dallas is having a little bit more of a difficult time, you know, getting pucks to the net. I mean, look at Robo. He scored two goals because he shot the puck. But Jamie Benn is standing right on top of the crease.
Yes.
Jamie Benn has been doing it his whole career. He just needs a few more teammates to kind of play that style at times. And I just think that I think against this team, what you have to do coming across the offensive blue line is start to play a little bit more direct and get second and third, because that, let's face it, Thompson's a good goalie, right? I mean, he's a good goalie. He's not a great goalie. Their number one guy may not even play. But Thompson, well, geez, I think Thompson was an all-star at last year or something like that. So he's, yeah, a good goaltender.
Yeah, and Aiden Hill struggled throughout down the stretch.
What's that?
Aiden Hill struggled down the stretch. I think it's
exactly
last and five games, 16
so,
goals. Yeah.
You know, so, but you saw in the first game, you know, there were a couple goals that went on him that, you know, shouldn't go in.
Yeah.
And so you have to do something to disrupt him. Now, I think he's probably coming out of last night's game, you know, with some confidence. But again, it's a lot of what goes on in front of him. And I think he pretty much knows that, you know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for a lot of players to set up screens because of the McNabs and the, you know, they've got a bigger Hanifin and Pietrangelo, and they just have a good group of defensemen,
yep,
you know, and then Hague, who's a big body.
Yep.
He goes out of the lineup. Who comes in? A guy that's won three Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
You know, Alec Martinez.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's how they're built. I mean, McNabb's huge, and Pietrangelo, like I said, and White Cloud's huge. And, you know, so they've got guys, and then they got a nice balance, right? Theodore gets up the ice, and Petro gets up the ice, and now Martinez can get up the ice. And they've got a recipe. You know, they've got a recipe. You know, you can call it what you want. Maybe part of their recipe is a couple guys don't play the last 30 games of the year. So, you know, that whole story. And then they're ready to go at the game one, which is not illegal, by the way. So quit crying about it, everybody. You want to cry to the NHL. That rule will probably, there'll be something put in place at some point as far as a salary cap or something in the playoffs. But anyway, you know, they're patient. You know, they're patient guys, and you can't make mistakes. Like, you can't lose your coverage. There was a goal last night. You know, it was the one where when Radek Foxa was going into the new or into the offensive zone, tried to make a move, and a puck gets turned over at the offensive blue line. So there's your first one. Then, you know, Eichel's heading right up the middle of the ice. But if you really dig into that play, and you watch Ryan Suter right in the neutral zone when Eichel's going through the middle of the ice, it's a little tiny detail. But when he pivots to go backwards, he's in the middle of the ice, almost in the middle of the ice. But when he pivots to go backwards, he pivots to the boards. He pivots towards the bench. He doesn't pivot to the middle of the ice. If he pivots to the middle of the ice, at least I think he's going to be in a better position to slow down Eichel as he goes flying through the middle. And then, you know, when you come back into your own zone and, you know, there's a race, you know, Suter's trying to catch Eichel, and then Thomas, he stops his feet moving just for two strides. And then Marchessault gets a step on him. So what he does is he tries to get to the outside. And that's a play sometimes that's a desperation play. He's going to try to time it to lift Marchessault's stick right at the right moment when that pass is coming across. But what he does is he gets to the outside. If he comes down the middle, even if he dives coming down the middle, put your stick out, you know, you may break that pass up, but you're on the outside looking in. So anyway, detailed breakdown there. But anyway, I'm anal at that kind of stuff, as you know. I just think if Dallas will play a little bit more direct game. Again, you don't want to take their skill and everything away from them because they're very good at it. But you got to dig in a little more, and you've got to be willing to get into the hard areas. And I mean everybody, not just Jamie, not Marchment. You know, hopefully he's going to be okay. But it's got to be everybody. You have to show that team that you're playing against, they're going, okay, now they want to go to war. Okay, we'll go to war, but at least you're going to be in the war. And I'll say the last thing, you better win game three. I mean, if you've got any tricks up your sleeve, you have to win game three, in my opinion. I think teams have come back, but it will be difficult coming back if you don't win game three, obviously.
Also tough to come back when two of your players go down and don't really play in the third period, two forwards. So that certainly will. I mean, Vegas tires you out as is, but when you lose two forwards in a game, that's tough.
But you know what? If you have to bring in a couple guys, Craig Smith comes in, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Plays with an edge. Maybe Delandria comes in. I don't know. We know he plays with an edge. Maybe that's what they need.
That's interesting.
And I'm not saying that player should come out, but if you have to put in a couple, you know, players, because you may have a couple guys out or one guy out, what you're going to put in is my opinion is you're not going to call up a skilled guy. You know, let's get some dirt. Let's get some sandpaper. Get some sandpaper to make it difficult, and you know, bring a shit show to the front of their net. And have three, four, or five guys standing there digging around, whacking at pucks. Don't get to the crease or 5 feet above the crease and start to take an easier path to get to the front of the net. Drive right through everybody.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With all your playoff experience, can you talk about been there before? Because I know Some of the stars have played in a lot of playoff games. Joe Pavelski, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Duchesne hasn't played in as much. But talk to me about that because, you know, this is basically the same returning team that won the cup last year. What kind of mentality do you have when you've been there and done it?
Well, you believe, I mean, when you win the cup, you go through a lot of different situations, you know, the easy games, the hard games, games you shouldn't have won. You got a couple of breaks, but you realize that you got a couple of breaks and we got a little luck in there to win a game, to maybe pull up to make a series 2-2, or you're down a couple games and you get it to 2-1, but you realize that it starts all over again. It starts all over in the next game. Like for Dallas, these two games are gone. And maybe that's good. They're gone. We have to, and these are all things you're going to talk, but there's veteran guys there from management down. And they're, you know, those are the powwows if they're going to have any meetings. But we need more. And we need more of this. This isn't, you know, even though we outshot them 2-1 in game one, well, it flip-flopped a little bit in game two. And I think I saw like last night even, and it doesn't look like Vegas is dominating a game. I don't feel like they're dominating a game. But you know, they quietly outshot Dallas 2-1 in the second and third period. That's the last I thought I saw, and it doesn't seem like it, but you know, and then their top two players, you know, there's a crack and there you go. There's a crack in coverage. There's a crack where you don't seal a player out. Let's just say it's Hurdle on that one particular goal. There's no resistance there. He gets right to the front of the net, and there's a reason they went out and found a way to get that guy. They know what he can do in front of the net, and he can translate when he gets to the front of the net into a goal. So, you know, you look at the goals that they're scoring so far. I don't know if there's really a highlight reel goal. You know, you can look at even on the Marchessault goal. That might have been in game one. I don't even know if it's in game. It had to be
10
in game
feet
one.
Away. Yeah.
Well, when he's coming right down the slot.
Yeah.
Miro's to his right. Like he's literally coming down almost in front of Ottinger. And Jake got a little sideways on that one. I don't think he was square on that particular shot, if I remember correctly. But Miro's got to make it difficult on him to get there. He gets a nice pass, got time to get his head up. And that's from the top of the circle to the hash mark. He's got his head up there. There should be resistance right there. You don't see that happening. You know, there was a turnover last night and, you know, somebody got a good look and, you know, again, those things happen. That's when your goalie needs to make a save. But you, again, I think what you draw on is you come out and if I'm a video guy today and if I'm, and this is just me. And again, I know I'm stuck in the old days, but I think we kind of know what works you know, we sit in our alumni room and we talk about it all the time. But again, you got a bunch of guys that played when dinosaurs were still walking around. So, but you got to understand that we all know that part of the game can win and lose games and series in the playoffs. But so I'm looking for instances and clips and things like that where I see guys driving in the net and you get the second whack and the third whack and you keep the goaltender inside the crease and you got guys piling in there accidentally on purpose, falling on them, make it just whatever you have to do without taking penalties. You have to drag these guys into a bigger fight is my opinion. And you can't let it be like that quiet game. And last night, you know, I think they got in more involved and I think the hits were a little bit more even at the end of the game. And, you know, so, and I, you know, and again, it's not like you're going to tell, like we need Roope Hintz to be motivated to go and get an ugly goal, you know, and Robo, like I said, Robo's first goal of the series, not a good goal, but he shot it and it went in and Jamie Benn standing right on top of the crease. Goaltenders can't see him. So those kind of things, there has to be more Jamie Benn's without taking away what their strengths are. Yep. You know, you don't want to say Matt Duchesne, we don't want you to be that magician with the puck and stuff. That's not it. But when you have a chance to shoot, there's been a couple times, and I'm talking about between the tops of the circles and the faceoff dot, there's time for, you know, if it's an outnumbered rush and you try to make that extra pass on the extra pass, which were highlight goals this year, I get it, but you may have to take that shot, and the other two guys, you can't stay on the outside. Yeah. You got to start going to the net and get some of them dirty goals.
Yeah, I think you need to go 30 plus shots to win against Vegas.
So yeah, right. Again, and if of the 30, the most important part of the 30 is that there's one or two guys that are standing within a foot of the crease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the other two guys. And if it's a 3-on-2, it's a little bit different, but at least on a 3-on-2, don't fan out. Like, don't have the puck carrier coming down the left side and then all of a sudden have the guy in the middle staying way up top for that drop pass and the guy on the right side fanning out to the right faceoff dot. Yeah. You got to have one of those guys has got to drive to the net. That's just been taught, you know, for a long, long time. You've got to have some net drive, and that way you at least pull a defenseman to the front of the net. And what does it ultimately do? It puts another set of legs in front of your goaltender and a big body. They got big bodies, right? So it's a little bit more difficult to look around, you know, two or three guys in front of you than it is one.
Yeah, it was a factor in game one as far as the starting lineups because – Sam Steele had that high stick. His stick was up high naturally, and he just clipped somebody, and they scored immediately on the power play. Last night, Pete DeBoer once again throws out that same fourth line. I find it interesting because Vegas, Bruce Cassidy, you know who he's throwing out that first. He does it game after game after game. Personally, I would have loved to seen the Wyatt Johnston line start and try to put them on their heels. What did you think? I mean, I think the fourth line had a good first shift. I think Foxa had a big hit. But at the same time, you know, I'd like to see some switch up there.
Okay. Are you talking about game one or game two now?
I'm talking about both games as far as the starting forwards.
Good. I'm glad you saw that because I'm sitting there game one up in the suite and I'm up there with, you know, Lukowicz is up there and Waz is up there and Burns up there and they have their starting lineup. And I immediately said, I looked at Luke and I'm like, well, I don't know. I'd go ahead and I'd take one of our top line, and we got three of them.
Yeah.
In my opinion, we got three of them, but you're right. It could be Wyatt's line. It could have been Robo's line, whatever one you want. I'm like, did we just play the way that they wanted us to play?
Yes.
Now, I don't think that they're necessarily trying to look at a specific matchup and pull something into it. I just think they have confidence in their tone setters.
Yes.
And that's what they have. And so they say, okay, we're on the road. We know that it's a team. They're at home. Their fans are buzzing. The building's electric. We got to try to take the crowd out of this as quick as we can. So maybe we bring our bangers in, you know, and watch these guys. You watch their best players, and I'm talking their forwards, and that's Eichel and Marchessault and Hurdle, even Stevenson, Stone. They get to the red line. You think they're trying to make little plays coming into the offensive zone? They get between the red line and the blue line, and the puck's going in. They're not trying to create anything. What they're trying to do, they're going to play a territorial game. And their philosophy, I believe, is we're going to spend more time down here than our own end. And we think that we can win hockey games. And they proved that they can do it that way. You know, and so, back in the day, the Boston Garden was one. Quebec City was one. Chicago was a huge one, but every time you played in their building and even on the road, you knew who was starting, and especially at home, they would start their bangers all the time. And it's like, we're setting a tone here. If you're at home, you got your fans going. What gets a fan into the game? Obviously it's a goal, but it's a big hit or a hit, or it's a shift that spends, you know, the first 10, 15 seconds in your own zone or in the offensive zone. And that kind of keeps the momentum going if you're at home, and on the road, you're trying to take the crowd out of it. Because, I mean, these guys know, and that's it'll be interesting seeing what Dallas does on, you know, on their next game, because that building can be the very same. It's going to be loud and, you know, going at it the way it is there too. So how do they, are we going to lead and say we're going to, because you're not getting the lineup cards are going, you know, the home team gets the last change. So the lineup cards are sent over. Pete DeBoer's got to send his lineup card in, and then Cassidy's going to look at it. He's going to say, okay, here's who's starting. I don't know if they're really going to change anything. They may start their, you know, that so-called fourth line anyways and try to keep the crowd in it. Unless Dallas goes, okay, well, we're going to start kind of like what we were saying the other night. So, let's just say they start their line of Roy and Colazar and Carrier. You know, that's typically their fourth line. So let's just say they start them. Well, you know what? Maybe they come out with hints and just say, hey, here, they're starting their guys. Let's go out and let's us get the puck and let's go down and let's score a quick goal if we can. I mean, again, that's all up into the, you know, the coaches and management and say, here's how we want to approach this game. And we know we have to win this game tonight. And again, it's not a do or die, but if you don't win it, you're leaning a lot closer to dying than you are doing.
Yeah. And I think that's why Craig Smith needs to be inserted into the lineup, Luds, because you put more shots on net, and he's a bigger body, doesn't mind banging. Thought he's had a good year, 11 goals on the year. And I think that would be the natural fit. And honestly, I haven't really seen much out of Dadonov on that fourth line. So I think that would be a nice change. I don't think they'll change up the defensive pairings. I think they'll keep as is because they've gone with that. I did notice a slight adjustment. I don't know if you noticed that. It was early into the first. They did switch as far as Tanev moving in front of the net instead of Lindell.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, you're on the road. So again, last change. I don't know. Do they want Miro against the top line, or do they want Tanev against the top line?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even tell at home. I don't know if they care. Maybe they don't care that much, Dallas. But you know, I think in my opinion, you went out to get Tanev for a reason, and so I just think that if you can free Miro up, and again, it's a lot more difficult on the road, but if you can free Miro up by not having that same responsibility or having it in the back of your mind, you know, that you're playing against Stone and you're playing against Marchessault and Eichel. I mean, Barbashev is a good player. I mean, I think their lines are great. I think Barbashev does a lot of work along the walls and in front of the net, and he's a big body, but let's face it. I mean, I think Eichel and Marchessault are their top two dudes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you want to throw Stone on that line, but that's it. I think I would be trying to keep, you know, and I think if you have Essa and Tanev together, I would be trying to match them up against that line. But again, it's more difficult on the road. And I think they're saying, you know, we're okay having Miro and Thomas, should it be like that, against them also. But I just think that I would have more confidence that Tanev and Essa would be able to make it more difficult in front of the net, because Miro's not really a hacker and a whacker and a banger, right, and wants to stick in a glove in a face. And, you know, I think Thomas can do it, but he still isn't, you know, a super physical guy right now yet, but I think the other two can be. And I think, and if you can get under the skin a little bit of Jack Eichel and get under the skin of Jonathan Marchessault, you know, and Stone, I don't know if you're ever going to get under his skin. You know, I think he gets under more skin than other guys do. He just plays the game, but that would be what I'd be trying to do. But again, a lot more difficult when you're on the road than home.
Yeah. Tanev third as far as D-men, time on ice last night, behind Harley and, Haskinen. My man, you're an absolute beast. Really appreciate you coming on with the player and, kind of coach perspective as far as the adjustments that you'd make. And I think one of the interesting things, Craig, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I mean, hockey, there's so many analytics thrown around, and really people don't necessarily talk as much about, you know, what changes in the playoffs, and many of those analytics go out the door, and that's why you pick up vets with playoff experience and guys that have been in the room during those times, and warriors, and just kind of like old school thinking. And, you know, it just changes in playoffs. And that's one of the things I love about the great game, is it's the same game, but it's different in many ways once the postseason starts. And that's why everyone loves the playoffs. They say of the major sports, hockey has the best playoffs.
Well, and it's the reason I think a lot of teams thought that Nashville was going to get blown out of the playoffs, right? I mean, Vancouver was going to beat them four games to one, it was going to be sweep. Everybody thought that Edmonton's going to, you know, they're just going to roll over LA. But when you look at the LA lineup and you look at the Nashville lineup, they're not a bunch of highly skilled guys. They play hard. And then, you know, and so it's just more about being in the face and not backing off and trying to make skilled teams and skilled players a little bit more uncomfortable. And I, you know, and again, I've said this before, you play the same team every other day for 2 weeks. You start to learn things about other players. Now that you know, when you play against them a lot, right? But when you play against them, very rarely do you ever see games that are, you know, you play the same team twice in 3 days, or you play them back to back. I mean, you don't do that. College, you do that. Junior, you do that. So the little problems that they have with certain players go away and you forget about them. But here, they're there. But then you also learn things about them where, oh, he didn't like that. You know, oh, he doesn't like getting chopped on the top of the foot when he's coming down the wall or standing in front of the foot. Oh, he doesn't like getting that little poke in the back of the leg. And he turns around and you could go, ah, he almost slashed me back. Well, maybe the next time he'll slash me back. And then it puts us on the power play. So those are the little things that you can pick up in the playoffs. And then there's going to be the other guys. Like, I think a guy like Barbashev, I don't know if you're going to get under that guy's skin. I've seen him, you know, get a little hot, and, you know, times I've seen him play, but you know, that guy kind of keeps his cool. I don't know. Can you get under Jack Eichel? Can you do enough to get him? Cause when he was in Buffalo, you know, he was a frustrated player, and that might be just because he was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But there were, you know, those kind of things. You want to get under the team's skin, go after the head of the snake. And I think that's Stone. You know, maybe get under Stone's skin a little bit without taking a penalty and see if you drag a couple of those guys in to protect him. Or, you know, to back him up. And, you know, because, again, you want to go after Roy and Kolesar, Carrier, Howden, even Carlson, Mantha. I don't know if that's going to piss off the rest of your teammates. So, because those guys play that game. So they don't really, you know, you don't really come to their aid, so to speak. But so I think that, you know, the Eichels, Marchessault, Stone, Hurdle, I don't even know if you can get under Hurdle. But you know, but again, I don't know. That's not necessarily a lot of players for Dallas, right? I mean, because they've been this juggernaut that's been able to put up 4 or 5 goals a game by playing the way that they play. But things are, you know, a little different, like we keep talking about. So yeah. Sometimes you just got to come out of character and see if you can throw them off. You got to do whatever you can to throw them off their game. A little bit.
Yeah, it was
again,
interesting.
I don't think they don't look like, I mean, they don't look like, remember when Colorado, when the Avs are healthy and rolling,
yeah, they
you're
kind of
like,
you.
Holy shit, how yeah. are you going to stop this team?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? I don't think that's what Vegas is. I don't think so. But they just, they have a very structured, again, I'll say it. They, the way that they play in their zone and the group of defensemen that they have, it's hard penetrating them. To get quality chances, but you can't just keep going to the perimeter. You know, that doesn't work regardless of who's in net. So, you know, maybe you find a way on each line, put a steal on line, put Craig Smith on a line, put a Delandre on a line, Stankoven will go to the net. You got one there.
Yep.
But maybe you got to have that guy on each line, that guy that, when we get across the offensive blue line, unless you're wide open, I know where you're going. you're driving right through the middle of those two defensemen, and you're going to stop right on top of the crease. And what you're going to do is you're at least going to bring in, you know, you're going to bring the offside defenseman to you. So there's going to be two guys fighting in front. That's where I think the Harleys, the Miro, you know, those are the guys that will be the fourth guy into that zone. So now when you got somebody driving through there, you got that late guy coming in because Miro should be able to beat anybody up the ice. We know Thomas can. So, but if you can play that way, now what you're doing is you're driving a puck down the wall. You got that middle lane drive, whoever it is, and we know he's going there. And you may have two guys going to the net. Nothing wrong with that. And that's where that defenseman that comes into the zone a little bit later, that's where that hole may be. But again, Vegas is pretty, you know, pretty structured. And then you got to be careful. You know, a little turnover, next thing you know, you're going the other way 2-on-1. So it's just problems that you have playing against, you know, Stanley Cup winning teams.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And to your point, when the Marchment hit happened in the first period, there were a couple pokes with both hands on the stick, but then play moved on. So, Vegas was not engaging. So,
there's a bigger picture.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and again, they've been there, they've done that, and you can talk to all the Stanley Cup winners. Sometimes you just got to bite your tongue. You know what we can, you know what, that guy, we'll get that guy next year in November. When we play him in game one in November, let's go get that guy then. But there's more important things at stake right now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Absolute awesome analysis today from one of your favorite all-time stars, D-Man Craig Ludwig. Thank you, sir. You're an absolute beast. Oh, I wanted to tell you, because of the late starts, we have not done a gathering, but, you know, I'm still up for it.
What when you say a gathering, is a gathering more than you and me?
Yeah, of course. I just don't, you know, these 8:30, or well, sorry, not 8:30, 8:50 puck drops, a 9:30 puck drop on Saturday night. I mean, come on.
I know. Normally you're in bed by then, so I don't even know how you're staying up to watch the games. But
you know, this
I said earlier, there should
be
a Spits and Suds watching party or something like that going on.
I haven't forgot about it. Trust me.
Well, yeah. Well, you bet. Where we're at right now, you need to start thinking about
it. I know we can see other games, too. Doesn't have to be the Stars, does it?
Well, don't you think there'd be more people in Dallas, Texas that would want to come and watch the Stars?
I mean, maybe a few. You're right.
I mean, that would be, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Again, the last thing I'm doing is counting this team out, because they have to win game three. I'm just telling you that it's going to be an uphill battle if it's not already, but it's going to be a bigger climb trying to beat this Vegas team four games in a row, you know, especially with having, you know, basically home ice. So, it's to me, it's just imperative. And I would assume that they're plowing through things right now. And the players know that they don't need to be told. All of them. I don't care if you're Stankoven, you've been playing for 2 months, or you've been, you know, Jamie, who's been playing for 14 or 15 years, whatever it is. They know how important yesterday's game was. That didn't work out. Now this one's got a little bit more urgency on it. As a matter of fact, quite a bit more urgency on it. Now, if it was a different team, you know, if it was a Nashville or, you know, a team that, you know what, let's just get it to one game to two. And then we'll come in here and, you know, we got a good chance of winning game four here. And if not, we go home, and then the series will be 3-2. And we believe we can go back into the building with one. So, but this is, you know, this would be like, to me, this is like being down to the New York Rangers, 3-0.
Yeah.
Or Carolina. Or Colorado, you know, those kind of teams. So, and anybody in that situation, and there are other teams that are down 2-0 right now. They know they've got to win that game three.
Yeah. Well, they did set a franchise record as far as wins on the road this year. So we'll see. Absolutely.
Drawing all the positives. That's what you got. The last two games are gone. You're just gonna have to pull out little bits and pieces. They know who they're playing against. Yep. They know what their MO is. They understand what they do on the power play. You know, I hope they do. And, you know, and you want to get one guy out high, you got to be able, you know, Tyler was standing next to Stone on that tip in, and there was a little too soft on Hurdle in front of the net. And so, anyway, they know all these things. They watch them over and over again, and they're going to be watching them, you know, before game three.
Absolutely. I'll just end with this, Craig. Like, Vegas, Vancouver. I have Vegas winning that series the way they're playing. Vegas versus the Avs, tough series. What I'm getting to is Vegas, Winnipeg, Vegas, LA. Vegas-Edmonton. After two games, I think Vegas is the best in the West right now. And it's just two games, and it's a small, but what I have seen out of this Vegas team, and that's why, is it a disappointment if the Stars get knocked out? Absolutely. And do they have a shot at coming back? I'm right with you. I think absolutely. Just win on Saturday. It's a must win because you can't go down 3-0 against this. But we do have to tip our cap sometimes to the other side, to Bruce Cassidy, for his game planning and saying, wow, this is, I mean, we all knew these guys were coming back. I can't believe the chemistry that they have on the ice. It's like they've been playing together for 30 straight games.
I'll tell you what, when you say tip your hat, you're right. And what Cassidy does is he's not a Ken Hitchcock. It's my way or the highway kind of guy. He, you know what I mean? I could name a few other coaches that are those kind, or have been those kind of coaches in their career. I think what's happened is he's got his leaders that have bought in. And why wouldn't they all buy in? They won a Stanley Cup, mm-hmm. you know, 9 months ago, whatever it is. So they're bought in. But you can, like, well, when I see them, their best players getting to the red line and putting pucks in when it's not a clear out numbered rush and willing to go in and forecheck, the players have to buy into what the coach is selling. And they've bought in mainly because they've had success. And, you know, to a man, I mean, is every one of these guys on this roster part of that club last year? I don't know if it's every single one.
Not every single one. Hannifin, obviously.
Yeah. So Hurdle. So why aren't, you know, why wouldn't they buy in? Guys, yeah. We've been here. We've done this. We know the recipe works. And, you know, and Cassidy will hold them all accountable to a point. So, and I don't even know if there was any panic in these guys as the season went along. Remember, they had a stretch. They weren't winning any games, but they were hanging around, and, you know, and they weren't even a shoo-in for a playoff spot with what, 2 to 3 weeks to go in the
yeah.
regular season.
Yeah.
But they get to that point, you get past game 60 and you're like, here we go. We're, you know, this is our time. We're going to get getting our shit together. And, you know, and again, like you said, you've got Hurdle and Stone who hadn't played a game, and with that group Hurdle for obviously reasons, and then Stone, and they just step in and Stone scores the first goal and Hurdle gets a goal, and welcome to the team, Thomas. So anyway, there's just belief. I think that, you know, it's such a powerful thing to have, and they've all been there together, and it's not like you've got to pull, you know, have three or four new guys that you picked up during the course of the season, and there's a little bit of change. It's not. I mean, you've got, you know, like I said, with the exception of Hurdle, and that guy's probably been wanting to get out of the situation he was in for a long time and get to a winner. You know, so the buy-in was easy for him. And when you've got 21 guys that have bought into a certain way, even if there's one guy that doesn't buy in, he won't be there long if he doesn't. So yeah, there's a lot of things going for this group, and you can, you know, you can say that their confidence is probably pretty high, but I would be willing to bet there's a big group of those guys, and more than likely, you know, the majority of them that are going, we can't take our foot off the gas with this team. That's yep. the one thing about the Dallas Stars and the kind of season that they had. They're talking about how good they can be, how many goals they can score, and how quick they can play, and all this other kind of stuff. But they're also saying, here's where they're not so good, and we've proven it in a couple games.
Yeah.
So, but they're not going to let their guard down, I don't think. You know, mm-hmm. But again, to me, if you're getting 25, 30 shots a game, you know, with what they have and how they clear the crease, you better aim for, you know, the mid-40s and get some ugly goals.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great way to end this podcast. Get some ugly goals. Forget about the extra pass. Doesn't have to be perfect. Get some ugly goals. Create havoc in front of the net. Love your perspective, sir. Thank you so much. Awesome to hear a former cup winner right here on Spits and Suds give his perspective. Been there, done that. Thank you, my man. Where are the Stanley Cup rings, by the way?
One of them I know where it is. I'm not quite sure about the other one.
All right, well, don't tell us, but at least you know where they are. That's good.
Well, I know where one is. I don't know where the other one is. I haven't seen it in a few years.
Anyway, how many fingers can I fit? How many dainty
we'll
fingers?
Save that for the Spits and Suds watching party.
All right. I was going to end with a dainty comment, but that's okay.
I'm looking out for the fans. I think all the fans need to respond and give you a thumbs up or whatever the hell it's called if they would like to have a watching party someplace.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from you. Absolutely. You want to join Craig Ludwig and get sauced and have a good time. Let's do it. Absolutely.
Did you say get sauced or soft?
Sauced. Not soft. No, sauced.
I don't get sauced.
I'm all right. Well, that's true.
I'm well conditioned, well trained.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly are, my man. You certainly are.
And I have Kim as my bodyguard sitting right next to me going, "You're not having another fireball. You know
that." Oh, yeah. If she's going, then I'm going. Absolutely. She's my best. Love me some Kim.
And there's one you don't have to buy. You don't have to pay for her.
You know, Craig, you don't have to end like that. You could just say great podcast. That would be, and I don't, for the record.
Now
I don't
it's a great
buy.
Podcast.
I don't buy. No, that's wrong. That's you're giving an impression that's wrong. I take people out to dinner. It's enjoyable. There you go.
Well, I don't know, but they need passports to get here.
No, they don't, Craig. No, they don't. All right, this could be the last episode of Spits and Suds.
Wouldn't that be a blessing?
For Craig Ludwig, I'm Gavin Spittle. Hope you've shared some laughs and hopefully you've gotten some great perspective here on Spits and Suds.
Hope I've painted a good enough picture of Gavin Spittle's extracurricular.
Yeah, you certainly, the definition of wingman does not have Craig Ludwig next to it. I will tell you that. Until next time on Spits and Suds, have a great day, everyone.